Best Life Show on UK Health Radio. My name's Robin Daly, host for the show and founder of the UK's integrative cancer care charity, Yes to Life. The show focuses on initiatives within integrative medicine, which is a very broad approach to care, taking in the many needs of body, mind and spirit. And this week, we're going to be looking at the legacy of one man, Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez, who inherited and developed a unique approach to cancer, leaving a legacy of remarkable cases in which he was able to help people through some of the most untreatable cancers. My guest today is Professor Sarpadilla, who is engaged in promoting Dr. Gonzalez's work and in educating other doctors in his methods. I'm speaking to Professor Dilla over the internet. Many thanks for joining us today to talk about the work of Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez and his legacy.
It's my pleasure, Robin.
Great. So before we go into his work and the legacy itself, I believe you've got your own personal story to tell in this arena, and I wondered if you mind starting out telling us about this.
Yeah, okay. So, Robin, I'm a medical doctor, and I had my trainings in France, Sweden, Turkey, Netherlands, and the United States, so I moved a lot to different countries and universities, and I did a training on microbiome diet, integrative oncology, hematopoietic stem cell transplantation, etc. But apart from being a medical doctor and a scientific researcher, I acted as a caregiver to my elder brother who died of lymphoma. That diverted my way from neuroscience to immunology and cancer. And I started also working on non-traditional cancer treatments as well. But moreover, I experienced a very serious kidney cancer back in 2013 when I realized that the conventional medicine was really not sufficient to fully cure cancers and myself. And my instinct took me back to the Taurus Mountains where I was raised. That's in the southern part of Turkey, where I witnessed as a child. I was, I think, 6 or 7 years old, an old lady feeding her husband who had cancer with organs of wild hog, mainly liver, pancreas, and maybe other organs. And I did a very similar thing to myself. I ate raw liver, kidney, and pancreas for more than 18 months, in addition to completely changing my diet and did some detox routines, but that were empirically the detox routines. Right. Soon after I treated myself, I learned about the Gonzalez protocol, which was actually very similar to the protocol I used to treat myself.
How about that? So it's nearly a decade later now. How is your health?
Perfect. It's great. Just that my tumor was so big that it got into the literature. You know, your kidney is as approximately as big as your fist. And my fist is 11.2 centimeters exactly, and my tumor was 24.5 centimeters.
Wow!
So it was really huge. They radically resected, took my kidney out, so I only have one kidney. But I mean, I didn't get any. Because at that time, my colleagues at the hospital where I'm working, they just proposed me to get chemo and other therapies, etc. I refused to take any of them. But I'm really doing good. So, I mean, being as a caregiver and then a patient and a doctor, so I just been in all the angles of
you
the
have.
Triangle. Yeah,
you
so
have.
So. So, I mean, when I'm talking to a patient, I'm really talking to my heart because I really had hard times a decade ago.
Sounds like it. And are you on any sort of maintenance program? Do you see yourself as on a maintenance program or just good, healthy living?
Yeah, I'm on the Gonzalez Protocol preventive program. So it's a very light, I'm going to explain in details the program, but very light. I mean, I just changed my lifestyle, my diet, et cetera, doing some detox routines and taking some pancreatic enzymes every day.
Right. Right. And I'm interested because not so many conventional doctors take an interest in alternative ways of looking at cancer. What piqued your interest right back at the early part of your career?
Well, I mean, I've just been interested first in neurosciences, and then I've been trained in the United States to be a hematopoietic stem cell transplant coordinator. So, but I have seen, I mean, those fancy chemo, smart drugs, immuno, et cetera, they're not really, really curing the patient. They are just curing the disease, right? I mean, this is the main thing. And they're just grouping patients in general to give a molecule and then do a statistics and say this drug is good for this type of disease. But I mean, each disease is different on different people.
Right.
So that's why I'm really interested in personalized treatments. And personalized treatments I found really a value in the non-traditional ways.
Right. Yeah, you're right. They've been involved in that kind of treatment for a lot longer, haven't they?
Yeah. And the other thing, Robin, is that when you look at the statistics, I mean, when maybe in the 50s, 60s, when we didn't have this much cancer incidence, we were just talking about cure. Now there are a lot of fancy statistical terms like disease-free survival, relative survival, event-free survival, etc. It's just sugarcoating the laboratory-made chemicals. And one of the interesting things is that the conventional medicine is not doing any detox, right? I mean, detox is one of the major parts of the Gonzalez protocol. But I mean, many people at the end of their cancer journey, they have multi-organ failure because of that tumor cells, because of the chemo, which becomes toxic when they are metabolized. So this is a very important issue, often neglected or missed by conventional medical people.
Right. Yes, it's a strange thing, really, that, well, first of all, it's considered that detoxification is just happening all the time. You don't need to worry about it.
Yeah.
And I mean, that you could say that was true.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, it takes no account of the very obvious rise in the toxic burden that we all encounter in our lives over the last 100 years.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, of course, the conventional treatments are some of the most toxic treatments given to anybody for any reason. So, you know, the case for detoxification is pretty high, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And I can tell you, I mean, apart from you just beautifully said why detox is needed for cancer patients or chronic diseases. But I mean, cancer and other degenerative diseases are fundamentally toxic themselves, right? They're toxic conditions.
Yeah. Right.
Apart from that, the body's repair mechanisms are mostly damaged in cancer and other chronic diseases. Detox organs are always saturated, so they can no longer clean the body. And the drugs are toxic, right? And when you use the drugs, you kill some of the cancer cells, so you have the dead mm-hmm. tumor cells circulating in your body, and they kind of create a tumor lysis syndrome known as Herxheimer reaction. And right. and we're living more in a toxic environment. I mean, in our water, air, food, heavy metals, everything. So when you just add the list, I mean, you have a huge bunch of toxins accumulated in your body, which your body cannot get rid of by their normal detox organs.
Makes complete sense. Okay, so let's go on and talk a bit now about Dr. Gonzalez and his work.
Yeah.
Maybe first Dr. Gonzalez himself. Who was he and what was his story?
Okay, so I mean, before I get into that, let me tell you that I mean, I haven't met Dr. Gonzalez in person during his lifetime, because he unexpectedly passed away in 2015. Mm-hmm. And that was the time when I was having troubles with my health and life. He passed away, and his wife, Mary Beth, who dedicated herself to carry his legacy forward. So we met a lot of times, and she generously shared patient files of him, thousands of cancer cases treated by him.
Right.
So me and a couple of other doctors just sat down 3 or 4 years to try to understand, because this is a real personal protocol. So you don't have a fixed protocol in your hand. So you have to go in each case, why he has changed, at what stage, etc. So it really took more than 3 years. And we realized that we were breaking the code of the protocol. That means we learned the secrets of it. And then we said we ready to go out and offer this protocol to cancer patients. But it was me and 2 other doctors. So we organized a very serious and intense education for some 10 practitioners in the U.S. But we were very serious. So it was a 15-month of education. We had nearly 1,000 pages of written how to do protocol. And then we had some oral and written examinations. And not everybody passed those examinations. So now we are 4 in the U.S., 1 in Mexico, 1 in Jamaica, and I'm doing this protocol in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So getting back to your question, Dr. Gonzalez learned this protocol from an orthodontist, right?
Yes.
This orthodontist called William Donald Kelly. He was from Texas. And I mean, interestingly, this orthodontist, Dr. Kelly, cured himself of pancreatic cancers in the 60s, largely using a methodology, a theoretical methodology of the John Beard that I'm going to explain you later. And he developed a sort of nutritionally based do-it-yourself home cure for cancer,
yes,
which is probably over 90% effective in patients.
Just to put that in perspective, of course, pancreatic cancer, just about nobody survives more than a year.
Yeah, yeah.
So this was a major achievement for him to pull this off. And he was
He cured himself and lived for more than 20, 25 years, I believe.
So he was thinking outside of the box for sure. And very interesting that he did it. He worked it out on the basis of existing science.
Yeah. And the conventional side always was very negative about the protocol, about an orthodontist treating cancer patients.
Right.
So he was just, he had a lot of investigations, right? As you can imagine,
imagine.
United States. The first time they investigated his office, there was one cancer patient and one patient suffering from dental issues. And 2 years later, during the second investigation, all the patients waiting in the waiting lounge were cancer patients. That was really amazing.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with ZeroZilchZip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit ZeroZilchZip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
The station that makes you feel good.
So as I told you, Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez learned from Dr. William Kelly. And then what Dr. William Kelly is grounding his protocol on Dr. John Beard's theory. So
maybe you could say a bit about that. It'd be interesting to hear about.
Yeah. So it is that Dr. John Beard was an embryologist. So he was just working on embryos, and he really observed very interesting things, right? So he came across and watched the embryos of humans and animals, etc. And then he found that the trophoblast, which turns into a stable placenta and an embryo in the fetal development, occurs at the same time when the digestive enzymes, especially from the pancreas, start. So there, these two just start at the same time, right? I mean, transformation of the trophoblast into placenta and embryo, and the secretion of digestive enzymes, the pancreatic enzymes, start at the same time. So this is the first observation that he had.
Okay.
So he thought that the pancreatic enzymes are playing an important role in this transformation of the trophoblast.
Okay.
The second observation that he had is that 15% of these trophoblasts that he called these trophoblasts wayward trophoblasts, they just migrate and distribute all over the body and reside everywhere and stay dormant, right? So they and those sleeping wayward trophoblasts, once in our lifetime, get triggered by any cancerogenic action like cigarette or any carcinogens, and they just wake up, and then they resume their cancerogenic activity, right?
Right.
So this is the other very important observation.
Mm-hmm.
And the very important thing that really blows my mind is that the properties of the trophoblasts are 100% exactly the same as the cancer cells, right? So how do you describe a cancer cell? It's invasive, it's undifferentiated, it's angiogenic, it is proliferative, the cell adhesion is decreased, there is secretion of the human chorionic gonadotropin, etc. So those properties are exactly the same properties of the trophoblast.
Mm. Right? So do you think you could just go through some of those, because not everybody will understand all those terms, and they're quite interesting.
Yeah.
To see that those things are similar between embryonic trophoblast, mm-hmm. And a cancer cell. It's quite extraordinary, really.
It is. So it may, I mean, if you look from this side, it may really change the paradigm of cancer, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't. And I tell you why it didn't. Because a little bit later, everybody could remember Madame Marie Curie,
yeah.
Right? Who convinced everybody that X-ray is safe and very effective to treat cancers.
Right.
And she got the Nobel Prize for that.
So that's okay. Where all the attention went.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the interesting thing is that Madame Curie died of X-ray exposure.
Mm-hmm.
And if you visit Curie Institute in Paris, you can go and visit her office, but with X-ray shields, etc., because there's still radiation in that room.
Wow.
And unfortunately, the trophoblast theory of cancer has buried because of this, and Dr. John Beard died in obscurity.
So, very interesting. Can you explain some of those key features of a cancer cell that are the same as a trophoblast?
Yeah. So they are undifferentiated.
So what does that mean?
Well, the normal cells, when they divide, right, they look like, I mean, I'm just trying to explain in a lay language. They look like the same, right? They look like the same cell that they are originating from. Mm-hmm. But those just change. So you don't really resemble the cell that is originating from. So this is called undifferentiated.
Okay, as opposed to a differentiated cell, what's happening there?
Differentiated cell is just a normal cell dividing in a control manner. That means that there's a division which is controlled by a central mechanism. That means that if you have two cells, two different cells neighboring each other, one doesn't go to the other side, just divide on its own. When you say undifferentiated cell, that as that they are not differentiated, it describes that the tissues have not yet developed maturely, or we cannot distinguish their features, right?
So, what you mean is it doesn't, you can't describe it as being any particular kind of human tissue.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So it mostly describes embryonic organisms where the organs cannot be identified.
I see, yeah. Okay, all right. What about the other features of cancer?
Angiogenic. Angiogenic, right, so means, I mean, it happens, it is true for both trophoblasts and cancer cells. It means that you have new vessels feeding them. So they create new vessels that feed them.
Blood vessels, yeah.
Yeah, blood vessels, so that they grow faster and easier.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, they have decreased cell adhesion.
Right, what does that
so
mean?
So that means, I mean, the normal cells just have normal cell adhesion, so they just stick to their environment.
Yeah, right? Okay.
Those don't have that much capacity to stay within their boundary, mm-hmm. so they tend to go and invade other sites as well, neighboring sites. So,
I see. So more uncontrolled.
Yeah, more uncontrolled. And this is related with another feature of the cancer cell, invasion.
Yeah, right. Okay, so that, and we see that in the way that the placenta develops, don't we? Is that right, that it is invasive?
Yes, it is invasive, and the very critical thing is that Dr. Beard observed that at day 56 in the fetus, right,
yes,
the pancreatic enzymes start secretion. And why do we need the pancreatic enzymes? I mean, normally in conventional medical studies, we know that it is for digestive purposes.
Okay.
But the fetus doesn't need any digestion, right?
No.
So he just tried to understand why the body is secreting these enzymes during the fetal period at day 56.
Right.
And he postulated that these enzymes can be regulating the transformation of the trophoblast into the placenta and embryo and stop the cancerogenic properties of the trophoblast, so that the trophoblast proliferative capacity just slows down and until the baby is delivered, right?
Right. So this is like the off switch.
Yes.
Until that point, it's uncontrolled.
Yeah.
It's invasive. It's just growing. And it could turn very nasty if it weren't for the off switch.
Yeah. And very boldly, I could say the human body is created with a cancer to be born healthy.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. Well, that's fascinating stuff. So that's the science that he came across that he based his treatment of himself on. And clearly he struck on something because he did very well. But okay, so Kelly and Gonzalez actually worked together for years. Is that right?
For years, yeah.
And but eventually Kelly died. When did he die?
I think it was 97.
Oh, I see.
Something.
Not so long ago. Yeah.
And
but Gonzalez just took over on his own after that.
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple of other doctors who just tried to do the protocol.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they were not very well trained. That was why we just emphasized and pushed the new practitioners to get all this information be learned by them. So as far as I see from the literature, they were not very successful, but Dr. Nicolas Gonzalez narrowed down the metabolic types from 12 to 7 and did the hair test, because metabolic typing was mostly done in previous years by just the questionnaire.
Yes.
But people, I mean, Dr. Kelly was asking some 3,000 questions.
Wow.
So that was huge, right?
Yeah, massive.
I mean, you can, I mean, still, when we have a patient, we ask some questions to sort out their autonomic dominance that I'm going to explain, which give hints of their metabolic types. But I mean, this is just something that helps us to sort. For example, if you're ambitious, if you have often migraine or headaches, high blood pressure, or you're often stressed, anxious, right? You have a strong libido. So those are signs of sympathetic dominance. And you probably have ulcer, colitis, etc. But if you are towards the parasympathetic sign, you're probably more creative. You experience fatigue. You have weight problems. You're always hungry. You're foggy-minded. You're successful, but you're not satisfied with yourself. You feel depression and you crave red meat. So those just, I mean, it's not 100%, but it just helps us to determine the metabolic type of the patients.
Hmm. So this is some of the thinking behind it then,
What
you might call core principles behind Gonzalez's work. So he was interested in this autonomic balance, is what you said, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Between these two systems, the sympathetic and the parasympathetic.
Yeah.
So why did he think this was so important? What was it about this that made him want to have detailed information about that in order to recommend what people should do about cancer?
He just followed the works of Dr. Pottinger and Hellinger, who really worked on the autonomic nervous system, and they believe that all the chronic diseases, and including cancer, there is a shift in the autonomic tune, right? So, so that's why the three pillars of the Gonzalez protocol, which are personalized nutrition, supplementation, and detoxification, all based on individualizing those three pillars on patients' unique metabolism. And this is mediated primarily through the autonomic nervous system. In other words, I can say the autonomic tone plays a major role in the expression of the metabolic type.
Yeah. Okay, so all three of those pillars, as you described them there, actually have to be customized for each patient.
Yes.
the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with ZeroZilchZip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit ZeroZilchZip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And so let's do a little comparison here. If we take the kind of... There's quite a lot of one-size-fits-all thinking in the dietary world, or certainly has been. It's getting less so now, but certainly has been in the past. Well, how does this compare with that? I mean, you say they're individualized. How widely do they differ between one patient and another?
Well, I mean, we just stick to what Dr. Gonzalez has narrowed down in metabolic typing, and that is 7. So we just, I mean, we rarely seen the extreme autonomic sides, like extreme sympathetic or extreme parasympathetic.
Okay.
But we see mostly balance and moving around the balance, right? I mean, moving towards sympathetic, etc. And the cosmopolitan life we are living in tends to push us a little bit to the sympathetic side. That's my observation.
Okay.
Because we are living in a stressful and toxic world. Yeah. And the thing is that we are not getting the right food for our body. So I can say, I mean, the one of the core principles of the protocol is that if you nourish your body with the right natural foods and supplements, which resonates in your body, so your body can heal itself, right? So it tunes the autonomic balance itself.
Okay, so can I just be clear about that then? In that case, so somebody is a bit unbalanced in one direction or the other, so you give them a particular type of diet. Is part of the function of that diet to create autonomic balance?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're not, I should make this clear, we're not getting everybody into the balance, right? We're not pushing everybody to meet in the middle to be healthy, right? It is just that you may be born a little bit on the sympathetic side, right?
Yeah.
And if we push you to the parasympathetic side, you become ill.
I see. Okay.
Right. So, I mean, by doing some blood tests, hair tests, some questions, etc., etc., we determine your original metabolic type, and then we see how it is moved to one side or the other, and then we try to maybe in a lay language to push you to your factory setting.
I see. So it's not so much a matter of creating balance as getting the right food to your own personal balance.
Yeah. The balance is not a balance for everybody, right? That's why it's true personalized.
Right. Okay. Fair enough.
And it starts, I mean, by changing, because we just think of conventional medicine. So all starts by changing the way you think about healing, because actually, your body was designed to give you the ability to healing, and the road to healing actually, Robin, starts from inside of you, and you need the right road to be healthy, and the right road is not the same for everybody.
Right. That is, certainly matches my experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, very interesting. So look, in terms of what Gonzalez achieved in his life, do you want to, I mean, some people who not heard about his work, they don't know what he did. Do you want to give us an overview of what you think he achieved?
Yeah, I mean, the protocol, as a summary, is 100% non-toxic, nutritional based, do it yourself, home cure, right? I can tell you that because we are not taking patients into the hospital and treating them in the hospital. They're just seeing us in every quarter or 6 months, and we actually teach them how to use our supplements, how to do the personalized nutrition, and how to do the detox. We have a couple of different detox routines. I may explain you a little bit later. And then when they learn how to do this, they start pushing their metabolic type or the autonomic dominance to their factory setting. And it is, I mean, the cure is not doesn't take the same time for everybody, right? So that's why we do the testings of, I mean, blood and hair tests, etc., every quarter, and then see how much progress this patient is doing, so that we can play around with the supplement and the nutrition, etc. So let me tell you a little bit about the supplements.
Yes, please. Yeah.
So we know which supplements push the autonomic tone to which side. For example, magnesium and potassium seem to have a parasympathetic stimulating effect, as well as chromium and manganese, whereas calcium, phosphorus, what else? Zinc tends to have sympathetic stimulating effects. B12, inositol, vitamin A, E, pantothenic acid has sympathetic stimulating effects, whereas the other B vitamins like niacinamide, pyridoxine, folate, thiamine, they tend to have parasympathetic. So depending on their scores, we score their metabolic, their blood work and hair tests. We just play around with those supplements. Sometimes the progress is slow, so we push a little bit more with those supplements to get them tuned as soon as possible.
Yeah, I understand. So, you were saying earlier on about the fact that Kelly used to have his 3,000 questions, and obviously that's been cut down by Gonzalez. And so that he's filling the gap then with testing, is that right? So the testing is to because you don't ask so many questions. Yeah. Okay.
We see, I mean, we generally see, now we do the telemedicine, of course, but we generally see and understand because if you look through the window of autonomic nervous system, you quite get the personality after talking maybe 15 or 20 minutes with the patient.
I see.
But still, we do all the ancillary work and all other tests to make sure we're determining the metabolic type correctly.
So you talked about looking through this vast legacy of cases that it, he was quite a record keeper, wasn't he? Didn't he document his cases very well? Is that true?
I mean, the thing is that it was interesting that he started his education as a journalist, Dr. Nicolas Gonzalez.
Okay.
So he really keeps a good record of what he is doing. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, he didn't know actually that he was going to die, but he really kept the record of each follow-ups very detailed,
Wow, right.
so that we would. I mean, it really takes quite some time even to get the code of one person, because I mean, you look at his notes every 3 months, and the patient is living 20 years, right?
Right.
So
That's a lot of notes.
all these notes. So to understand at what point, what did he see to make a change in the supplement program, etc. So, but it's at the end, you just get the general idea of how things are moving. And once you start taking the patients, and we have already started taking patients, and see the results, we are very happy.
Right. So in a way, the fact he documented it so well is a real blessing, because of course he didn't spend the time to, he probably could have passed on the information to you much more quickly if he'd been able to teach you directly. So
absolutely, it would have
all been lost when he just died unexpectedly, had it not been for this body of work that he's left.
Absolutely. I mean, it's because of his wife, Mary Beth Gonzalez, who just published all the written documents. Mm-hmm. So now he has two books full of cases, hundreds of cases, Conquering Cancer, Volume 1 and 2. She also published the Thromboblast Theory of Cancer, Autonomic Nervous System and the Diseases, etc. So, I mean, if you go to Amazon or other sites, you can find his books. They're really very interesting to start.
Reading. Fascinating. So we're beginning to get towards the end. You wanted to say something about detox. Do you want to say something about that quickly?
Yes, yes. I mean, detoxification is really one of the very important part of this protocol. Because as I told you, proper detoxification is a critical success and a rate limiting step for this protocol. And for if for any reason a patient cannot do this, it's an exclusion criteria.
Right.
And the thing is that we are just giving a lot of capsules to swallow for the patients, because we don't have the IV forms of the enzymes. So people have to get something like 45 grams, that is corresponding to 100 capsules, 75 to 100 capsules a day. This
wow.
is much. So
that's
if
the,
yeah, and I know that's a lot, but I mean, compliance is an issue. So if the patient cannot swallow, obviously we have to drop the case. But getting back to the detoxification, I told you before, I mean, too much toxicity in the environment, plus the dead tumor cells, plus the extra toxicity from the chemo drugs, if the patient has used, plus the detox organs are oversaturated, so we have to stimulate those organs with the detox that we use. And for the detox, one of the major routine is that we use coffee for enema.
Right.
And when the first time I remember, I asked one of my patients to do the coffee enema, and when it was something like weird, he has heard. I mean.
Yeah.
And the first question was a little bit funny. He said, I mean, it's hot. How can I put the hot coffee in my colon? I said, no, it's going to be your body temperature. So we do the daily routines like coffee enema and dry skin brushing. And we have weekly detox routines like some baths with vinegar or salt soda or another kind of enema, bentonite enema, or castor olive oil salts, all depending, they're not fixed for everybody, all
okay.
depending on the metabolic type.
Right.
And we do the liver flush, colon clean, and juice fast also, but those are monthly routines.
So, yeah, very comprehensive.
And just wanna say, I know we are out of time, and coffee enema is very critical. Which existed in the nursing books and the Merck manual until the beginning
yes.
of 70s. It not only relieves the constipation, right? It gives you energy, and you know the abundance of nerve endings in the colon. So and there's a gut-brain axis. So when you stimulate with coffee these nerve endings, it stimulates mm-hmm. the brain areas where autonomic nervous system is predominating, majorly the brain stem. So it really works very well. They really feel very much relieved after doing one or two coffee enemas.
Mm. Interesting, because that gut-brain connection is relatively new science.
Yes.
Explaining something which has been in use for 100 years or something.
Yeah,
very interesting. But you're right. It was commonly taught in the medical world until the 70s. And they even treated
ischemic shock with coffee enemas. Yeah.
Did they? Right. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, look. Just to finish off, do you want to tell us about the work of the foundation, the Nicolas Gonzalez Foundation, what it's doing, and what your part in it is?
Yeah, I'm acting as the chair of the scientific advisory board and faculty. As I told you, we are seven practitioners around the world receiving patients. We're also doing some, I mean, we are just gathering the patients that we treat and then try to come up with some conclusions so that we can, we try to take this important protocol and make one of the major options for every cancer. That's the role and the mission of the foundation, and then try to change the course of cancer and the fate of the patients down the road. This is our main goal, and the Gonzalez Protocol is on a roll. And I mean, I really appreciate, Robin, that you started beating the drums for the Gonzalez Protocol. And I'm really looking forward to seeing patients and offering them the protocol, because most of the time the patients are feeling that they are left in cold. And I would advise the patients and the maybe family doctors or the attending physicians not to jump on any immediately offered solution to treat their cancer on a silver platter, because your cancer has not just started a day ago. It needs at least 4 to 12 years to get one cell to become cancerous. So I advise everybody to think twice before starting any treatment. That's my take-home message. And we ask patients to trust the protocol, trust themselves, be compliant, and take this treatment, the protocol, as a full-time job, right? It's not like the chemo, that you go into a chemo room and then they give you an ice cream and then you get your chemo. It's not like that. It's a difficult journey, I know. But we are paving the way for them, and we'll get through this together.
Right. Okay. So I will let people know how they can get in touch with you. You said that you are actually offering this treatment to people in Europe. So if anybody from the UK, for example, contacts you, you'll be able to help them.
Yeah, I have my own, I have an institute, which is called the Ovital Institute.
Okay.
It's ovitalinstitute.org.
Okay.
Okay, so they can just go there and then see and understand what the protocol entails. And then if they really want to get in the protocol, we do a kind of screening. So they just apply directly from the website, and then we analyze their case and get back to them. And then I also come to London every now and then if to see the patient in person. This is very important.
Excellent. All right, well, thanks very much for that. Thanks so much for joining us today. Tell us about Gonzalez and his legacy. I don't think anybody can doubt his incredible achievements in terms of the worst terminal diagnoses. So it's heartening to hear that these are now being followed up and taken further. So, very good. Thank you very much, Saba.
I appreciate you spreading the word and beating the drums for the protocol, because it really gives the cancer patient without a hope a hope.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Robin.
That's a pleasure. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye.
If you'd like to find out more about Professor Diller's work and the Nicolas Gonzalez Foundation, look on the professor's own website, that's ovitalinstitute.org, and on the Nicholas Gonzalez Foundation website, which is thegonzalezprotocol.com. A reminder that Yes to Life has an online event on June the 11th focused entirely on the subject of natural ways to deal with common side effects. These are the side effects of both cancer and conventional cancer treatments, and the event will be a massive resource for those with cancer at a rock-bottom early bird price of just £15. To secure your place at this price, just go to the Yes to Life website now, that's yestolife.org.uk, and follow the links from the homepage. Thanks so much for listening today. I'll be back next week with another Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio, so I hope you'll be able to join me again. Goodbye.